Blog Talk Radio.
From the road of struggles, strife, dangers, and occasional victories of 2014 to the bright, shiny, hopeful path of 2015, and broadcasting from a small, shaky, but absolutely patriotic single wide trailer. Kelly O'Connell, good morning to you. It is New Year's Day. You made it. If you're listening to this, you made it. Congratulations. December the 1st, 2015, how does it feel? How was your last night? Personally, I skipped the party so I could get up early. And glad I did, to be honest. It is a little bit chill out there. And as a matter of fact, let me give you some weather here. But I put together a show mostly of... basically best and worst of 2014. So, yeah, with some other stuff in it, of course. Here is Doppler Dave with his analysis of the weather from KVIA.
Look at our latest feature track computer model as we run throughout the morning hours on your Thursday. And notice the model producing some snow across the higher elevation. Sacramento could be looking at some pretty good accumulating snows as we look ahead to your Thursday night. But we'll start to warm things up with our temps. That will allow us to see some rain. And then as we head towards your Thursday night, Friday morning, we could see that change over to maybe some sleet and some snow. At lunchtime, you could see the model still indicating maybe some snow still up in the Sacramento Mountains. Then we get a little bit of a break, maybe a little bit of some clearing taking place in spots by 6 o'clock. Then as we continue to run the model here for Thursday night and Friday morning, the model not very bullish in producing much in the way of any snowfall. A lot of clouds hanging around, but I still think we'll have some opportunity for some sleet and snow by Friday morning. Here's 1 o'clock, and we start to warm things up again in the low 40s, and we could see a little mix of some rain, some snow, of course, up here in the higher elevations. Then, again, Friday afternoon, Friday evening, again, we'll be dealing with some rain, some sleet, some snow that will be continuing. Once we head into Saturday, we'll start to see some clearing take place. I still think we'll have an opportunity for some snow on Saturday morning. But I think once we really head into Saturday night, Sunday, we're going to be looking pretty nice. How much snow are we talking about? Potentially, we could see about an inch. Sierra Blanca, Van Horn, anywhere from 1 to 2 inches. Up in Rito, so Cloudcroft, they'll be looking at snowfall accumulations. The winds, well, they're still going to be up 35 on Thursday, 30 on Friday, and 30 as we look ahead to Saturday. The wind opportunities or the rain will be anticipating 20% chances for Thursday, Friday, and perhaps about a 30% chance by early Saturday. Snow opportunities, again, our chance of snow anywhere from 20 to 30%. Here's your 7-day forecast. Notice the chance for some wind. Still going to be in the forecast Thursday, Friday, even into Saturday. We gradually start to clear out by midday Saturday. 50 degrees Sunday, plenty of sunshine into next week.
And well, there you go. Somebody was telling me there was going to be some snow last night, but we didn't get any. Truck carrying mixed drinks and supplies crashed. New Year's Eve party in Carlsbad canceled. Oh well. And don't see a lot of stories out there on New Mexico right now. Everything is kind of grinding to a halt, I guess. And has been some pretty strenuous weather in California, and there's snow in Las Vegas, and getting very, very cold down up in Utah. So it is out there. And all right, so I do have some, and if you're up early with me this morning, which is probably not most usual listeners, I appreciate it. I've got so many lists of best and worst here for you, but I would like to challenge everybody. I've been reading a book on goals, which was fantastic, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Let me look it up here on my Kindle. But as a matter of fact, if you don't have a Kindle, you can go and get the application if you have a computer. Most people have a computer. And I do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Happy New Year, and who's this?
Hey, this is Tom. Are you on the air right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Are you playing clips?
No.
Okay, I can't. I'm having a hard time pulling you in on my radio.
Well,
I'm hearing all different news clips and stuff like that, but I'm not finding you.
Tom, I played. Hold on a second here. You know, I played some.
Something about Ferguson?
No, as a matter of fact, you know what? Let me do this. Let me play the station, and what I will do is see if it's coming over my radio. I don't I played a clip on the weather, so let me play some Auld Lang Syne here from Susan Boyle, and I'll see if it is indeed.
I'll see if I can tune you in while you're playing it.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, thanks,
buddy. Thanks. Yeah, if you ever hear me and you don't think I'm on the air, well, if you ever tune in and can't hear me, I always appreciate you letting me know if there's something going on. But I'll let me do a real quick check here. Kelly O'Connell, 612, 613, AM 1450, 523, 1450 to call in. I'll be right back.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all acquaintance be forgot and all lies find? For old lies find the dear, for old lies
Thank you.
It's Kelly here. Yes, I am on the air. Had to go out and check in my Jeep. So, Tom, tune it in. I don't know if there's maybe a problem with your vehicle, but it is getting out of the studio and up to the transmission tower and getting sent across the valley. So, anyway, Tom had called in and asked if there was if I was on the air. So let us – I'm looking here at the local news, and I'm seeing that, of course, they did the chili drop, which is kind of cool looking, and that the interview at Cineport 10 is going to be screened today. So the controversial film about North Korea, and they've now realized – that the people who hacked into the get into Sony was not the North Koreans, who have a very very primitive internet, but it was somebody from the company who had been fired. And okay, so. And by the way, if you ever want to see the difference between a socialist country and a capitalist country, get a map of the peninsula of Korea at night, and you will see the most astounding difference that you've ever seen. And one is full of light. I guess it's a little bit symbolic, but there are beads of light, and there are, you know, concentrations of light in various places in South Korea. In North Korea, it is just about absolutely dark. And so what does that mean? There's no economic development in that country. I mean, they do have cities there, but they suffer from chronic poverty. It's an absolute police state. Care is just abysmal, and people are trying to escape. They're not trying to break in there. And I signed up for Netflix finally because I thought maybe there would be some good stuff in there, and it's all right. Not nearly as many movies as I thought there would be, but there was a documentary on North Korea. I mean, I've only watched like 3 shows out of it in the last 2 weeks, but there was this documentary on Korea, and it was just absolutely jaw-dropping, and I wanted to bring the information on the show. But, you know, they get rid of religion in, and I probably already mentioned this, but they get rid of religion in socialist, communist countries because it's a cult. So they see it as a cult. And then they worship the leader is even worse than Jesus was ever worshipped. We got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. This is Bill. How are you doing today?
Good. Happy New Year, Bill.
Well, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Hey, yesterday you had asked listeners if they thought the next 2 years, you know, what Obama was going to do and whether he was going to lay low or get more radical.
Yeah.
Here's something I was thinking of with this whole deal with Cuba and everything, and given the fact that most presidents do pardons at the end of their terms, I'm thinking maybe this guy's going to pardon everybody in Guantanamo and give it all to the Cubans.
Well, he, why not? I mean, they say that he's going to, somebody suggested that he'll have it closed by the end of his presidency. But what if he went back and pardoned everybody from Judas Iscariot, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The other thing you would, you were saying, that congressman that attended the David Duke seminar or gave a speech or something like that, you thought that he should step down?
Yeah, that was my initial reaction. Here's the thing that I've learned over the years in dealing with this kind of gotcha politics. So often my initial instinct is wrong because the way the story is framed gives a false impression of what really happened. And so I'm always open to that as well. That was my initial impression, is if you go to something by the KKK, knowingly go to it. If you're like a minister or an evangelist, okay, I got no problem with that because you're trying to convert them. But if you're somebody from the government and in a high place, and it doesn't that seem to almost give them a stamp of approval?
But I have a question for you. What's the difference between that and Obama spending 10 years listening to Reverend Wright?
None, which was my point. And I think that, we had the phone call from Courtney, but there is no difference. As a matter of fact, I find it more objectionable because the president, this guy, whatever his name was, I think starts with the S, Spicer or whatever. He apologized and the Republicans apologized. The left has never apologized for bringing in someone who came out of, and it wasn't 10 years, it was 22 years in that church. And it's not just a racist church. It's also a Marxist church, and it's not, and that they believe, they follow Reverend Cohn's writings. They believe if the God that you follow is not focused on race, then he's not the real God.
Unbelievable.
Bill, you, is that a Chicago accent?
Sure is.
That's, my dad was from Chicago, so, there's a distinctive, it's not super heavy like some of the East Coast, but when did you move from Chicago?
I moved down here in August. I retired and moved here in August.
Well, glad to have you in town. Anything anybody needs to know about Chicago and anything we're talking about?
Yeah, we're not all Democrats and we're not all liberals.
I guess that's true.
That's it.
Is that it, Bill? Thanks a lot. Have a happy new year. I really appreciate the call.
Same to you. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Welcome to town, and I hope you have a great 2015. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right, folks. I think it's worse what the president did because here's the thing, and I think that Courtney kind of stumbled across this yesterday or Tekashi, whatever. And I was listening to myself. I was trying to listen to my show to see how I can improve. And I sounded a little bit irritated, but it's just like I'm so over people talking over me and not having a conversation with me. And I just wish we were wouldn't do that because I think it would be more interesting for people. But obviously, whether you talk over me or not, I want to know what your opinion is. And I know people get nervous and sometimes they can't hear. So I don't take it personally, but in any event, I think it was something that Courtney said that sounded probably worse than it was when I went back and listened to it. My initial impression was, only the white man can be racist because he's in power. And then when I re-listened to it, Courtney and Tekashi and everybody were saying, it's all bigotry. And being bigoted is bad, and anybody can be a bigot, but it's racism when it's institutionalized. Now, I don't reckon that's the actual definition of racism, but I think it is and the reason I said it was, when I listened to it, it was Marxism. Marx is interested in just a couple of things: power and wealth. And it groups those two things together. And so anytime you hear somebody talking about power in that way, it's a Marxist analysis. Now, like I was saying, I'm white. So, you can say, well, I haven't experienced all the racism in this country. But I would say this. until we have one definition of racism and we have one, you know, take on how people should be treated, then we're going to struggle in this country. And I don't think it's acceptable if, in the president's mind, if he went into office and wanted to get some payback, I don't think that's acceptable, because you're really going into office to judge people. I mean, lead us into the future. Don't take us back to the past, you know. That's my theory. But anyway, so look up, go to your Google, where the government's tracking you 24/7, 365, and type in North Korea at night. And you're going to absolutely be amazed. You've got to have, somebody has got to come along and do an outline. And we've got another call. Happy New Year. And this is Kelly. Who's this?
Happy New Year, Kelly. This is Greg.
Greg, God bless you. And I hope your 2015 is going to be the best year of your life. What's going on?
Hey, I'm going out with a bang and I'm heading out first to work. How's that?
Well, I mean, I'm impressed.
Don't be. This is for Bill. How about those Chicago Blackhawks?
Probably more popular than the Chicago Blackheads.
I totally agree. I tell you that, and to Bill, but my Los Angeles Kings are in a losing streak right now. Anyway, as you were saying about being racist and being affiliated with political parties, I think the reason why we're not hearing so much of a stink from the left is because they have their own. They have Sharpton, Jackson, Farrakhan, and you brought up Wright, and we got Obama. I distinctly remember on his autobiography, in the audio version where he's reading his own book, he talks about his mom as being, quote, a typical white woman, unquote.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, they got their own bunch on that side. And last but not least, I believe it was Breitbart when I was checking last night. There's a report coming out of the Iraqi News Agency that the terrorist group ISIS has now been infiltrated with Ebola.
Oh, really?
Yes. Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, I was, I thought you were going to say something. It's been infected or infiltrated by Uber or, you know, some pyramid marketing scheme.
Well, if you had the taxi cab workers over there, I believe they'd be debating night and day on how much the fare would be after they got you to your destination.
I'm sure they would. So are you going to go see the interview?
No, absolutely not. I'm not interested.
Have you ever seen a picture of Korea at night?
Yes, I have.
It is one of the most astounding things I have ever seen in my life. And it's, folks, you can go to the independent.co.uk, but North Korea at night, NASA image proves country really is cloaked in darkness. It's astounding. I mean, all children should be shown a picture of this and explained, this country up here is communist. This country down below is capitalist. The one on the top, here's the life expectancy. Here's how many calories they get a week. I mean, there are videos of children walking around in, I guess it's Pyongyang or whatever the big city is up there. And they're like these little kids are scraping around for cigarettes. They're dirty. The clothes don't fit. They're emaciated. I mean, it's just stunning. Go ahead.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, Kelly. I've seen actual video, of course, that was secretly taken out of that country, of exactly what you're talking about a five-year-old kid sitting on a curb. And he passes out from hunger. He just drops, and nobody stops to assist this child. He's just laying there in the street, and there's people just walking by trying to take care of themselves.
Yeah, and it reminds me also what you just said. There was a story about a baby in China that had been run over and laid in the road for a period of time, and nobody stopped to help it. And when you think about, I mean, obviously there's an impact of abortion in our country. People are not as interested in kids, and you've got all of these very kind of mendacious or dishonest arguments about global warming and stuff, why human beings are bad. We're getting poisoned by this all the time in our mind, but there's nowhere in this country where if a little kid got run over that people wouldn't run over and immediately try to help it. And in China, it was like, you know, I think they're so exposed to this culture of abortion and, you know, one child policy. And you know, there's a lot of live children over there that are murdered, that they've lost their ability to feel anything in a lot of situations. And that's the same in North Korea. It's these police states, everybody is spying on one another and ready to turn people in at the drop of a hat.
Absolutely. Desensitized human beings is what I would say. But you brought up another point, and that was global warming. I wanted to hear what your take would be when the Pope came out and sided with Obama and said that global warming is the number one concern these days.
Well, I mean, when I heard that the Pope was involved with this freeing of Cuba, and then you've got relations restarted with a country with grave and very serious. This is what people don't understand. When I brought my guests on, I was trying to communicate grave and serious and life-threatening human rights violations. But when I heard that the Pope was talking about that, now global warming, the only thing that came to mind was Marxism, that he's a Marxist.
They're all Marxists, every single one of them. All of them.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to bring up some, or I hate to respond in that way to your point on New Year. I mean, we're supposed to think the best on these holidays and stuff, but I've spent so much time in the university system. I met so many people, a lot of them very bright, who are Marxists, and it always stunned me how Marxism takes away people's ability to think logically and put one and one together and get two. And it is it's a cult, man. It takes away your ability to think and see, and you know.
But Kelly, you know that I'm a pessimist, so I'm always going to look at the worst things first, the bad things. And we could all say Happy New Year 2015. Honestly, though, do you believe that we're heading in the right direction as a nation?
No, but I mean, we're starting to turn the train around a little bit, or maybe it's like a ship. You know, to turn one of these giant carriers in the ocean is a massive undertaking, and I think that's the same thing for the United States, don't you?
Well, yeah, but the first thing we need to do is we need to go ahead and remove Boehner and the other clown in the Republican Party. Let's get some real conservatives in there.
I don't see how you keep somebody in the upper echelons that willingly went to a KKK meeting.
That should have been figured out right from the very beginning before he started making his move in the political arena.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kelly, I'll probably lose you at this point. Happy New Year, and we'll be listening to you next time.
Thanks a lot, Greg, and hope your 2015 is your best year ever.
Same as you.
Okay,
all right,
thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Take a little break here. This is Susan Boyle. This is the lady that was frumpy and in her 40s, and she came on the American Idol of the British, and she blew everybody away. Beautiful voice. I guess she went crazy. This is funny. This lady, living in this small village in England, has this amazing talent, always wanted to get a chance to sing and get, you know, become famous from it. She gets famous, and she becomes mentally ill because it was too much for her to take. Now, I don't think she's permanently mentally ill, but some of the ironies of life. Anyway, here she is, Auld Lang Syne.
I'm sure. Oh, Lord, why?
It's Kelly here, 640. Good morning to you. It's live. Happy New Year to you. All right, I would just kind of carry on with this for a second. North Korea at night, and this is from February 2014, so I guess, 10 months ago? Almost a year ago? 11 months? About 10 months, actually, February 25th. North Korea at night, NASA images prove country really is cloaked in darkness, and this is on The Independent if you want to look for it, but it's absolutely shocking. You know, when you're looking at these pictures of satellite images, and you can see this, like, the, you know, they have these things hanging off the satellite, these like fins or whatever, and they're to collect the solar panels or whatever. This is, the article says, it's got a video, and the video is just jaw dropping. It is a regime shrouded in secrecy, and images captured from space show that North Korea is also cloaked in darkness. And the images were taken at night by NASA astronauts aboard the International Space Station, ISS, and depict a almost completely dark North Korea compared to its brightly lit neighbors, South Korea and China. And the pictures released yesterday, taken by on January 30th, so it's like exactly a year ago, Nikon DS3 camera. The capital city of Pyongyang is the only bright spot in an otherwise mass of blackness, but it still appears dim compared to South Korea's capital city. In a statement, NASA said, quote, North Korea is almost completely dark compared to neighboring South Korea and China. The darkened land appears as if it were a patch of water joining the Yellow Sea to the Sea of Japan. Its capital city, Pyongyang, appears like a small island despite a population of 3.26 million. That's in 2008. Emission from Pyongyang is equivalent to the smaller towns in South Korea. Coastlines are very apparent in night imagery, as shown by South Korea's eastern shoreline, but the coast of North Korea is difficult to detect. These differences are illustrated in per capita power consumption in the two countries, with South Korea at 10,000 kilowatt hours and North Korea at 739 kilowatt hours. A damning report by the United Nations earlier this month accused the regime of imposing unspeakable atrocities on North Koreans and called for those responsible, including leader Kim Jong-un, to face justice. So the one of the things that you should know, and I see watching this video of this country, it was so bizarre. In every home, there was a picture, only pictures of the dear leader, and there are giant statues all over the place. It was worse than any god, worse than any religion, because there's no substance to it whatsoever. And I've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Happy New Year. Who's this?
Hey, Happy New Year. It's Tom.
Hey.
Hey, I think we should all have pictures of Obama in our houses pretty soon here.
Yeah, on the inside of your toilet seat.
Or the toilet paper,
or maybe embossed at the bottom of the, you know, of the bowl, a waterproof image.
No, I bet
image.
They got some great stargazing over there in North Korea.
I guess so, man. They should move everything over there and get rid of the no light pollution over there.
Light pollution, like my neighbors out here, they're shining spotlights right across the street from me onto my house. I'm like, could you please point your light down toward your driveway instead of over here?
Hmm. What do you expect?
All right, Kelly.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good day. All right, Happy New Year. All right. Okay. So anyway, I didn't mean to get off on this thing, but here's the thing to remember. There's a difference between, in this country, people act like there's only positives that come out of the left, leftism and socialism, progressivism. Let's think of all the names: Marxism, leftism, progressivism, socialism. Did I mention communism? And there's more names for this stuff out there, but it all comes out of the same idea. Now, the people that are in charge of the country right now are very sympathetic to the same thinkers and the same ideas as are being used in North Korea. Now, how is it that China, which is a communist country, is so prosperous? The leader of China just happened to go to Singapore. This is a number of decades ago, and met with the leader of Singapore, and they had a conversation. And basically, he said, "How are you guys? You know, your small island nation, and you're so prosperous. How do you do it?" And so he explained to him, and that guy, and I can't even remember his name, took it back to China and applied those principles, because Singapore is also a very tightly controlled nation, and it's a former British outpost, basically. But they took these economic ideas outside of the context of rights, and they applied them, just these kind of free market principles or capitalistic principles, and that's how China has set records for economic growth for these decades, because they basically started from nowhere. If they were really following Marxism, they would never have been able to compete with us or any other country, because, you know, Marxism does not encourage growth. And you can say, well, that's good because we have global warming or the planet's overpopulated. And what's my response to that? More propaganda. We're getting propagandized. The planet's not overpopulated. There's no global warming. We're not running out of oil. I mean, I just passed by the gas station. Oil is down to the low 170s, or maybe it was 178, whatever it was. And the upshot is that when true capitalism comes in, it wipes out these cartels and monopolies, and it brings in a true price. We've got a true price on world oil now and gasoline because according to Alan Greenspan said that OPEC has been broken and he doesn't see how it can recover itself. We're in a true free market economy and world oil, and it's helping everybody. That is the foundation of our recent economic recovery. Kelly O'Connell, God, I've got all this stuff I wanted to tell you about in terms of lists and everything. Well, I'll get to it. 523-1450 to call in. The text line 805-6180 to text. And we'll be right back. KOBE AM 1450 Las Cruces.
Wake up with Taco Bell's AM Crunch.
It's Kelly here. Good morning. Happy New Year. January 1st, 2015. All right, I was looking up the history of Auld Lang Syne. It was an old Scottish tune. It was written down by Robert Burns, the most famous Scottish poet. Now, Robert Burns became very famous by being a poet in his younger years, and he spent his later years, for whatever reason, not writing as much original poetry, but collecting the songs and verses of Scotland and keep recording them for posterity. It has, this is from Telegraph, the UK Telegraph, it has a global significance. It's used in the Maldives and Korea, although probably not North Korea, and it's got a meaning beyond New Year's. The song is, this, these are 10 facts about it. Song is sung the world over, is not the original tune. It's basically a call to remember old friends as time marches on. Auld Lang Syne means for the sake of old times. And if you don't know the lyrics, should old acquaintances be forgot and never brought to mind? Question mark. Should old acquaintances be forgot and Auld Lang Syne? For Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for Auld Lang Syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne. all right, so... let's get into what I was going to originally do. Okay, New Year's traditions from around the world. England. Customs for welcoming New Year is full of hospitality and warmth. They believe that the first guest for the year who comes through the door is going to bring fortune for them. He should be a male and enter through the front door and bear a gift, like a loaf for the kitchen, a drink for the head of the family, and coal to light the fire. Otherwise, he's not allowed. Denmark. Residents keep a pile of dishes all broken in the front door, in front of the door. For this, they save old dishes, and people usually throw these on the friends' doors during New Year. This symbolizes friendship and brotherhood, and they believe the one maximum dish outside has the most friends. The one with the most dishes, broken dishes on your front door, has the most friends. You'd think that would be Greece, wouldn't you? The Chinese have a way of celebrating New Year where every front door of a house is painted in red, which symbolizes happiness and good fortune. Either that or Chairman Mao. They hide all the knives for the day so that no one cuts oneself, because that may actually cut the entire family's good luck off. Brazil. Brazilians believe that lentils signify wealth and prosperity, so they serve food items made up of legumes like super rice on New Year's. And on New Year's Eve, the priestesses dress up in blue and white for an auspicious ceremony, celebrating the water goddess, who has apparently not has fallen down on her duties because they've had a water shortage there. Of all the places to have you ever thought about that? Brazil's having a water shortage, and they're like in the, like in this rainforest, and you see these pictures of these giant rivers. All right. Also, a sacrificial boat in Brazil filled with jewelry, candles, and flowers from the beach of Rio de Janeiro is pushed to the ocean. And that's supposed to bring wealth, happiness. Austria. Austrians find good luck charms in suckling pigs. I know a few of those. They serve it on the dinner table with edible pigs, and the peppermint ice cream is served as dessert. German. Lead is considered to be auspicious here. They pour molten lead into cold water, and the shape that is taken after predicts the future. Heart shapes symbolize marriage. Round shapes denote good luck. Other shapes tell you you need help. Okay, Belgium. They call the New Year Eve as Saint Sylvester Eve. They believe in throwing family parties where everyone kisses, exchanges fortunes, and greetings, apart from the raising of toasts to welcome the New Year in its own manner. All right, so. And, Americans, January 1, UK, January 1. China is on the lunar calendar. Their New Year is known as Wan Tan. And Chinese celebrate New Year with much pomp and grandeur for 10 to 15 days. Beating of drums and cymbals are believed to drive the evil away, the lion dance and feasting take care of entertainment. And gifts of red envelopes containing money are exchanged. Japan, since 1873, Japan has officially adopted the Gregorian calendar. Before that, they were on the Chinese. And they eat decorative cakes, rice cakes called mokis. Chinese homes hand out straw ropes at the entrance for good luck on New Year. Visiting temples to pray for the departed and for good harvest. And that's the national religion of Shintoism, which I believe the mayor and prophet Ken Miyagashima may be a secret votary of. Temple bells are rung 108 times to scare off the evil. In France, New Year in France is known as, I can't even pronounce that, but it's a rebellion celebration. Toasting will bring prosperity. Families meet and greet. Denmark, collect dishes and throw them on each other's porches. Spain, as the midnight strikes, it's customary to quickly eat 12 grapes, one at each strike of the clock for good luck. Sri Lanka, the New Year is known as Aluth Everudu and occurs in mid-April. Rituals include house cleaning, lighting of the hearth, herbal bathing, making auspicious dishes, strengthening of family relationships. Germany is the molten lead. All right, so those are some of your world customs. In Colombia, tradition in Colombia is to run hard and fast around the house with a suitcase in hand to ensure a year of good traveling. In Germany, this is from another one, ABC7. Germany, many people rub chimney ashes on their forehead for good fortune and luck. They believe in fortune telling through molten lead. Greece, it's pomegranates that have the strong symbolic meaning since ancient times. And so they throw pomegranates on the ground and break them apart. The more they burst open, the more luck they contain. Ireland, a very old and still practiced custom, is for unmarried women to place mistletoe leaves under their pillow. This is believed to bring good fortune, hoping to find love in the new year. That could bring the tooth fairy to give them a kiss. Mexico celebrates by eating 12 grapes, one for each 12 clock chimes. And for the 12 months, New Year's Eve in Russia is a big deal. And write your wishes on a piece of paper and burn it and put the ashes in your champagne. Scotland, they celebrate Hog Manay, which is makes all of our New Year's Eve look pale by comparison. And Venezuela, wear bright yellow underwear for luck. Either that or it's an old pair of Depends that they forgot to change. Anyway, those are some of your world traditions. We'll take a break here with Susan Boyle on the hour. Old Lang Syne. Don't forget your old friends. We'll be back after the break on the hour. Kelly O'Connell, KOBE 1450, 523-1450 to call in.
Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all acquaintance be forgot and
Good morning. Happy New Year. Kelly O'Connell here. Yeah, it's live, folks. It is definitely live. All right. And I'm looking at your best stories. And I must have 50 best and worst lists here. So I'm going to try to work my way through some of them. Let's see here. Best and worst quotes of 2014. And this is from foreignpolicy.com. Lindsey Graham, number one, the world's literally about to blow up. Literally. Let's try to work our way through these. These are too long to get to, and it doesn't really look like there's a bunch of funny quotes here. Here is top searches from each state. Topics, people, events from 2014 that each state Googled more than any other. All right, I'm going to test my knowledge of the. Just tell you where you should live or shouldn't live there. I'm going to test my knowledge of the map here. Washington State, top Google. These are all top Google searches of 2014. Top words that were searched. Washington State, Gamergate, Oregon, Ukraine, California, Bitcoin, Nevada, Bitcoin price, Idaho, how to craft, Montana, National Rifle Association, Colorado. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, no, that's not Colorado. What the heck is that? I'm already getting screwed up here. It is Colorado. Well, look, I'm just going to read it from the ones that I know here. Utah, is Emma Watson nude? Isn't that touching? Arizona, is Wilfred, which is a TV show, I guess. What's the number one? I'm going to leave New Mexico for last, because you're not going to believe it. Colorado is the number one search was for marijuana. And I guess the one above that is Wyoming, Malaysia, airline flight 370. North Dakota, number one search, Jay Leno. South Dakota, the Dr. Oz show. Nebraska, Keystone Pipeline. Texas, Ebola conspiracy. Oklahoma, Ebola symptoms. This is weird. Wisconsin, Joan Rivers' death. This is truly, now I've got to, this is very, very disheartening, but I've got to pull out, you're not going to believe this. I'm going to have to pull out a map of America just to be able to read these to you because they're not listed. I could probably come up with about three quarters of the all right, here I think I've got what I need here. All right, Richard Dawkins is the top search from Iowa. Minnesota is Joan Rivers. Missouri, Ferguson, which is understandable. Arkansas is, hold on, I got to blow this thing up here. Some of it's a little bit small. Louisiana is True Blood TV show. And Mississippi is Flappy Bird Cheats. This is so bizarre. Tennessee is, what is ALS, or who is ISIS? Georgia, Jameis Winston, or that's Mississippi. Georgia, CDC. Florida, Michael Sam Kiss. South Dakota, hazing. North Dakota, Maya Angelou. Virginia, Boko Haram. West Virginia, Maroon 5. Maryland, Feral Hat. Illinois, lethal injection. Michigan, Macaulay Culkin dead. And Illinois, Harold Ramis, that's where he died. Wisconsin, which I misstated. What is Tinder? This is so bizarre. This is one of the most interesting things I've ever seen. Ohio is lethal injection. Pennsylvania, marriage equality. Massachusetts is Malala Yousafzai. Connecticut, Woody Allen. New York, Emma Watson speech. Vermont, net neutrality. No, wait a minute. Find out what state that is. New Hampshire. It's Vermont. See if I can just find this here. Vermont is feminism. Don't move there. Disgusting. If that's the number one search, men, do not go there. New Hampshire, net neutrality. Maine, Between Two Ferns, comedy series. This is so, isn't that bizarre? You've got to be kidding. These are the top searches. Okay, now you're wondering what it is in marijuana, legalized marijuana. In Hawaii, it's ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. What is the top search for 2014? For New Mexico, it's zombies. We've got zombies on the mind. That is, holy cow, that's unbelievable. And the sad thing is I really need to bone up on my gazetteerology. Being a gazetteer is the study of maps. All right. Knowledge of maps. All right. Top 10 worst candidates of 2014. Democrat Bruce Braley, Iowa Senate. Republican Terry Lynn Land, Michigan Senate. Democrat Sean Eldridge, New York's 18th District. Democrat Allison London Grimes, Kentucky Senate. Democrat Domenici Ricci, New York's 11th District. Republican Steve Sutherland, Florida's 2nd District. Republican Lee Terry, not to be confused with Terry Lee Land. Nebraska 2nd District. Democrat Martha Coakley, Massachusetts Governor. Democrat John Walsh, Montana Senate. And Republican Monica Wiebe, Oregon Senate. All right. I'll be back. We'll have more lists. Kelly O'Connell and anything else that comes up. 523-1450 to call in. 805-6180. Here's you too, New Year's Day at 714 on KOBE, Las Cruces, New Mexico. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Kelly here, and I'm looking at the best and worst jobs of 2014. And let's see here. This is, all right, so for some reason they don't, this is careercast.com, doesn't really actually list 10 jobs as the worst. What it does, though, it says amongst the worst is a logger. And when I lived in Oregon, I was around a lot of logging, and it's extremely dangerous. And because the logging industry is I guess there's been a lot of challenges to logging, especially the stupid spotted owl, it's hard to get a job and it's very dangerous. Another one. A low rate rank job is a newspaper reporter, and newspaper reporter listed as 199th worst job out of 200, and number 200 is the logger. And U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates 9% drop in logging by 2022, and a 13% decline in reporters. And other bad jobs include firefighters, the most stressful civilian job, and enlisted military personnel not far behind. Okay, so that's not your 10, but it had a misleading title there. Now, here's your top, yes, your top 10 jobs according to this. I don't even know where they come up with this stuff, but number one, mathematician, two, university professor, tenured, three, statistician, four, actuary, five, audiologist, six, dental hygienist, seven, software engineer, eight, computer analyst, 9 occupational therapists, 10 speech pathologists, top 10 jobs according to the survey. And all right, for what it's worth, which may not be much, best and worst laptop brands of 2014. You're listening to the Kelly O'Connell Show Alive New Year's Day version. Number one top laptop brand, Apple. Number two, Lenovo. And Lenovo took, I think they bought out IBM. Asus is number three, HP, Hewlett-Packard number four, Dell is number five, Samsung six, Toshiba seventh, Acer eighth, and Sony ninth. Those are your best. Those are the top laptops. All right. Worst journalist of 2014, Don Lemon. And here is a clip from him. He made a number of mistakes. And he is, I'll just let you know, he's a gay reporter, which I don't know if it has anything to do with this particular, he's an African-American gay reporter, if it has anything to do with his approach to this clip, but this is one of the most amazing things and really disappointing things I've ever heard a journalist say to anybody. This is one of Cosby's rape victims being interviewed. And this is what he asked her. You've got a woman who said that she was raped years ago by Cosby, and this is what Don Lemon says.
Can I ask you this? Because mm-hmm. And please, I don't mean to be crude, okay?
Yeah.
Because I know some of you, and you said this last night, that you lied to him and said, I have an infection.
Mm-hmm.
And if you rape me, or if you have intercourse mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. me, then you will probably get it and give it to your wife.
Right.
And you said he made you perform oral sex.
Right.
You know, there are ways not to perform oral sex if you want to do it.
I was kind of stoned at the time, mm-hmm. and quite honestly, it didn't even enter my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I wish it would have.
Right.
But
meaning the using of the teeth,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. You're, yeah, I didn't even think of it.
Biting. So.
Ouch.
Yes. I had to ask.
I didn't. It didn't yeah. cross my mind.
You know, maybe I don't know. I can't imagine asking a rape victim whether you thought about chomping down, but it was really, and there was a number of stories like, well, nothing that bad, but it was incredible. I just found that to be incredibly insensitive and bizarre question. And I'm looking here at the weirdest of the weird news stories here, and because I know that you demand your weird news. And I'm trying to find the top weird news stories, which I did. Actually, you know, it's funny. I do these searches, and I get something that comes up, and then the story's kind of disorganized. All right. One of the top weird news stories, speaking of Don Lemon and his approach to stuff, Play-Doh recently put out, this is probably the worst toy of 2014, they put out something that's called a Play-Doh Sweet Shop Cake Mountain Playset. And they've got different attachments and the bizarre thing is that got something here called, I think it's supposed to be for, you're supposed to be squeezing out Play-Doh through this thing, and it looks exactly like a plastic penis. I've never seen anything like it. The parents were outraged, and well, I've got a clip here, but I won't bother to play it for you, but it's just, if you look at it, it looks like a sex toy. And so people were, you know, understandably upset that their kids were being exposed to this. All right. So Kelly O'Connell and all right. Here's Miss Selania's top 20 weird news stories from Mental Floss. And no, I have no idea who Miss Selania is. Speaking of bizarre, it's a bizarre name in my opinion. 20. Smelly cat finds a home. Lenny the cat has a story that most cats can't match. He suffered a failed adoption because he passes too much wind. He farts too much, folks. Lenny was found at a park in Rochester, New York in February and taken into Scottsville Veterinary Adoptions in Scottsville. He was adopted out but returned 2 days later. His Facebook update said, "Hello, I was returned today because I fart too much. I am hoping to find a person who can love me even with my stinky farts." I can't believe they put a Facebook up with this. "This is advertising. I am a 19-month-old neutered male and would love to be your smelly cuddle cat. I'm very friendly and I love to be petted and held. I'm even wearing a tuxedo so I'll look snazzy if you come to see me. Pardon the stench." So, 19, pilot's arm falls off while landing a plane. A UK Air Accidents Investigation Branch report revealed an incident in February in which a pilot was landing a small commuter jet in Belfast when his arm fell off. The 46-year-old pilot described it by Flybe as among the most experienced and trusted pilots, wears a prosthetic limb, and said that he believed he had securely fixed the arm in place, but with heavy winds, once he deactivated the Dash 8 aircraft autopilot, he prepared to land the plane, and that's when the arm troubles began. Asked why a pilot with only one arm was flying a plane in the first place, the safety captain of Flybe said, Captain Ian Baston said that the budget airline had a policy of equal opportunity, and therefore, in common with most airlines, we do employ staff with reduced physical abilities. And you know what? The next person they're going to hire may be a blind pilot. 18, reservoir to be drained due to urination again. Mount Tabor Reservoir in Portland, Oregon was taken offline in April because a man was seen on security video urinating into it one Wednesday morning at 1 a.m. Two other men tried to scale a fence. One was successful. As a result, 38 million gallons of clean water were flushed from the reservoir. It's not the first time. It happened in 2011 to 7.8 million gallons. I find that to be absolutely ridiculous. Okay, 17. Dog coughs up missing wedding ring lost 6 years ago. Lois Matikowski of Wisconsin lost her diamond wedding ring 6 years ago. She searched and searched, never found it this past June. Her 10-year-old dog, Tucker, laid down. He looked ill. Why? He had swallowed a popsicle stick. Even for him, his nickname, I guess, is Deep Throat. Tucker's famous for sealing food and eating anything that's nailed down. A veterinarian advised her to feed the dog a Vaseline sandwich. Jeez, this is getting weirder by the moment, which she did, and he threw up the popsicle stick. 2 days later, the dog threw up again, and this time, Matikowski's wedding ring came up. It had apparently been inside the dog all those years. And the veterinarian said the popsicle stick must have dislodged it. Now her friends are jealous that she has a dog that vomits up diamonds. It's number 16, don't use fire to remove tip from tree. In Door, Alabama, someone had TP'd the trees in the yard of Cheryl Krause's well of Door, Alabama. Family tried to clean up the mess, but, well, some of the toilet paper was stuck. So they did what any thinking person would do. They decided to light the toilet paper on fire, and you know what happened? Their entire house burned down. Number 15, drunk driver busted by parrot. Guillermo Reyes was driving home from a bar in Mexico City when he encountered a DUI traffic stop. When police talked to him, they heard a voice from inside the car saying, "He's drunk. He's drunk. Quack. Quack. He's drunk." They shone a light into the car, but there was no other passenger, just Reyes's parrot. Apparently, he'd heard people say that phrase so often he learned that the cops gave Reyes a breathalyzer and concluded that he was indeed driving drunk. Reyes was sent to the drunk tank overnight and later was that the parrot was allowed to accompany him on his shoulder begging for crackers. Later, he was seen strangling the parrot. Well, I'm assuming that's what happened later. Car enters garage through roof. George Strother and his wife from Escondido, this is number 14, California, thought that they felt an earthquake early in December the 10th, but it was not. It was only until the police officer knocked on the door that they found a car had crashed through the roof of their garage. A BMW had broken through the roof and landed on Strother's Nissan Pathfinder. Number 13, man fights off shark, stitches up leg, goes to pub. That's the kind of people we need to attract to this city. James Grant of Colac Bay, New Zealand, was spearfishing with friends when he was attacked by a shark. He stabbed the shark with a knife. The shark left. He got out of the water, saw a deep gash on his leg. He is a junior doctor. He removed his wetsuit, stitched up the wound, using supplies from his first aid kit and decided to celebrate by going to Colac Bay Tavern. And they gave him a towel there because he was bleeding on the floor. And then he went to the hospital and they really restitched it. Epic Spelling Bee ends in March. The Jackson County, Missouri Spelling Bee finally came to an end after 2 weeks and more than 90 rounds of elimination. Or attempts at elimination, the final two contestants, fifth grader Sophia Hoppen and seventh grader Kush Sharma, which almost sounds Indian, went 66 rounds and spelled their way through the entire list of available words. Wow. In the end, Hoppen was eliminated by the word Difling. Levin. A visit to the collision repair shop. Jennifer Lapierre of Colleyville, Texas, was contacted by police New Year's night and was told that someone had entered her business, but she didn't know that the person who entered the business was a GMC Yukon that had crashed into her business upside down. And it was caused by Grandpa. And Grandpa rolled the car and went through the brick wall. 10, snake eats golf balls, undergoes surgery. A gray rat snake was found in chicken coop in North Georgia. The snake had two large round objects in its stomach, and you'd think if it was in a chicken coop, it would have eggs, but it had golf balls. They had to take it to the Sea Turtle Center and pop the eggs out. Two dogs take truck on joyride. A pickup truck came very close to plunging into the Arkansas River in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Excuse me. In February, the truck belonged to a man identified as only Scott. He's parked on a hill. While he was in his house, his two dogs, Luna and Roscoe, were left in the truck, and one of the dogs put the car into gear, and it took off. It went three blocks down the hill, and they missed drivers on Riverside Drive, runners on the trail, and narrowly missed landing in the Arkansas River. The truck was stopped by the brush along the river. That's pretty good. Virginia man claims African country to make daughter a princess. No, he doesn't have mental illness problems. Beer to Will is a stretch of land between Egypt and Sudan that neither country wants. Jeremiah Heaton of Abingdon, Virginia, now claims it is of his own. Last winter, Heaton's six-year-old daughter Emily asked if she could be a princess. He said yes. He has worked since then to make it so. That's what I call enabling, folks. To that end, Heaton was claimed an 800-square-mile territory of Beer to Will, renaming it the Kingdom of North Sudan. He planted a flag there on June 16th. Emily's seventh birthday, that makes him the king, and Emily a princess. Okay. 7, China performs cavity search on 10,000 pigeons. October 1st is National Day in China, commemorating the founding of the People's Republic in 1949. As part of the celebration, 10,000 pigeons were released over Tiananmen Square, but each pigeon had to undergo a security check first, including an anal probe. Why didn't they send him here to save money? We'll do him for free. It was videotaped. 6, risque ads caused 517 auto accidents in Moscow, and it's a truck running along with a picture of a woman's breasts, and 517 auto accidents have resulted from the image. A hearse with deceased person inside was stolen from a funeral. Prominent Sydney human rights lawyer Seth Richardson died at 52. The funeral was held a couple of days later. And during the funeral preparations, a man jumped into the hearse and drove it off with Richardson in a coffin in the back. That's what I call a human rights violation. And the brother called the police. Driver turned out to be a man with dementia who walked away from the nursing home and wanted to go to the market. Sinkhole swallows 8 Corvettes in the National Corvette Museum in Western Kentucky. And all the cars got covered with dirt and hurt. Teenager gets 232 teeth pulled. 17-year-old Ashik Gave of Buldana, felt a pain in his mouth, and they went in there and found extra teeth, 232 of them. Sewer blocked by Big Poo. Scottish Water, a national public utility, found some unusual objects blocking the sewer underneath Scotland over the last year, including a huge plush Winnie the Pooh bear in East Kilbride, South Lancashire, and a fax machine and a bike and a snake and blue jeans, and they had to pull it out, and then it was unblocked. Surgery for pet goldfish, the number one weird story of 2014 in September. Dr. Tristan Rich at Lord Smith Animal Hospital in North Melbourne, Australia, performed surgery to remove a tumor from a goldfish. It's named George. It's 10 years old and apparently doing well. Anyway, I've got Keith in the studio this morning. We'll take a little break and come back and talk to him. It took a long time. Are you on the air this morning? Oh. Turned around a little bit. True. You know, it's so bizarre. You see a headline that says top weird news stories, and it's just a bunch of stories, but there's no narrative. These websites need work. Kelly here, and I've got Keith Welpley in the studio. Good morning, Keith.
Hey, morning, Kelly.
Thanks for dropping in, and Keith said he heard that I didn't have a guest and felt sorry for me. Of course, you never felt
sorry. No, I never feel sorry for you.
You never felt sorry for me on any other day. But
you know, I have to be in here after you, and you and I are the only souls out on the streets. Driving in, I couldn't believe not one car, and it's probably about a 3-mile drive from my house to here. Taking all the side streets, but not one car.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. It's almost like the plague had sort of floated and seeped, just like the Ten Commandments.
Wow, man. Well, that's exciting. All right, so how's your New Year?
Pretty mellow, like most people, probably most of our listeners out there, just stuck around at home. You know, it doesn't mean much. You know, the older you get, it just doesn't mean much. 1 year floats by. Years, you know, when you get older, years feel like months anymore. It just
sounds like
flies.
You need a touch of Interstellar.
Yeah. Tell me, how would I get that?
You go up to Venus or something and come back through a black hole, and everybody will be 100 years older than you.
Okay, so I heard you this morning, and you have been reading a book on goals. Goal setting, I suppose.
Yeah, I've meant to. We got a phone call, I think, from Tom or whoever. But
and I wanted to pick your brain about what you're learning from that book. And I know you've got a Kindle now. You really love your Kindle. I got one too for Christmas.
Did you get a backlit Kindle?
I don't know if I got a backlit. I got.
You'd know it.
Would I know it? Okay.
It's a Kindle Paperwhite.
Okay, but you were telling me the other day that they can damage your retinas or something.
Yeah,
like that?
But it's worth it in my opinion. All right, so the name of the book. I'm glad you brought it up. The name of the book, folks, get this book. I don't know, is it $6, $7? Goals, How to Get Everything You Want Fast. And this is by a guy by the name of Brian Tracy, and he claims it's the number one goal book in history. He's got a lot of books on sales and organization and goals and everything. But what he said in there is having a goal in and of itself makes all the difference in the world to your success in life.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is a goal versus what is a goal? I mean, is a goal when just say, "Well, I want to get fit this year," or is a goal like
no.
I want to improve my wealth by X number of dollars?
That's a goal. I think like being a goal of being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a goal. That's an outcome. A goal is something that you can reach.
Okay.
So.
So being happy.
Well, being happy is
happy. I would agree. Happy is a result. You can't just sort of set out and be happy. You have to say, okay, I'm going to go do this. That makes me happy. Do that. That makes me happy. So what are your goals? From this book, what do you hope to achieve?
That's very personal.
Well,
what are your goals this year?
It's only you and me.
That's true. You and I in the bathroom wall.
No, I heard Tom calling too. Tom's listening.
Well, we got, I probably had four calls, I think, this morning.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for the, that Kindle is kind of small to, I mean, what if I wanted to take over the world, you know?
Oh, you don't want to leak that. That's
yeah,
true.
I mean,
yeah.
I might, that, that might get reported to the,
yeah.
Yeah. The, our national tyrant.
Well, my goals are never huge. I mean, my you know, at 54, I feel like my window is closed to do anything real major. But
you don't say that.
You know, just getting out and doing things that result in me being happier. I think that's a great goal. Money doesn't do anything for me.
All right, it's from this book. This guy's talking about he didn't graduate from high school, and he had had menial jobs. He was, you know, digging ditches and washing cars and janitorial, working in sawmills, factories, farms, ranches. He was doing the worst job in the America, which is being a logger, even, and living in cheap rooming houses, working paycheck to paycheck. And one day I took out a piece of paper and wrote down an outrageous goal for myself to earn $1,000 per month in door-to-door and office-to-office selling. Folded up the paper, put it away, and never found it again. But 30 days later, my entire life had changed. During that time, I discovered a technique for closing sales that tripled my income from the very first day. Meanwhile, the owner of my company sold to another guy who had just moved into town. And 30 days later, he pulled me aside and said he'd give me $1,000 a month to teach the sales force. So
this is sort of this is really a money book.
No.
It sounds like a money book.
It sounds to you like a money book.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like a book to achieve goals. I mean, it's easier to achieve a tangible goal. And I mean, I'm sure this guy.
So making all this money just serves as an example for how you can achieve goals.
Yeah, but I mean, it might be a book, you know, aimed towards marketing, aimed towards, you know, business people. But I think that making a goal and achieving it is, I mean, here's a question: why are we here on the earth?
Mm-hmm.
If you had to answer that, what would you say?
Well, I think if you look at it from biological standpoint, I guess reproduce.
You're a Darwinist. total is reproduction, then you're not opposed to rape then.
Well, yeah, that's yeah.
There gotta
I'd
be
have
more
to be opposed to that. But
gotta
you know,
be more to it. But what is your goal? What do you think? Don't change the subject now because it's very important. The question is, why are we here?
I think that's a big question that it's very personal. I mean, everyone has a different reason or a different idea of
maybe
why
a lot
we
of people don't have any answer.
Yeah, a lot of people may not. What do you think?
I think we're here to serve mankind. We're here to try to be successful mm-hmm. in terms of supporting ourselves and our family, but we're here to serve mankind and womankind, and which I know sounds pie in the sky, but I believe that this idea that Jesus had, the golden rule, is like the operating manual for life
mm-hmm.
in terms of like interacting with people. And I think that even if you ask, because, and I think everybody agrees with this, because whether you ask a religious person, a Christian, a Jew, any religion, any atheist, any agnostic, they all say the same thing, the golden rule. I find that remarkable
mm-hmm.
that even atheists, when you ask them, you're an atheist, you don't believe in God, you don't have any rules. And they say, I do have a rule. And they ask, what's your rule? And they say, it's a golden rule. And that's like, well, that's from Jesus. Well, that doesn't matter. I still follow it. You don't have to be, you know,
right,
religious.
Right.
But I think that I believe in this idea that you're given gifts to develop, and those gifts are how you serve people, how you serve
humanity. True that. I agree with that. So a guy who's really good at making money, and like the guy in this book that you're reading, came up with a method for closing sales. So he's serving himself.
It's
certainly
not a method for. I'm just gonna, because I've read ahead of this area here. You're kind of got this business analysis and money and everything. I think it's a way to reach goals.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The application might be to it's a way to improve your life through reaching goals.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't. If you ask this guy, I don't think if you came up and said, "Well, I'm not a businessman, therefore your book doesn't apply to me," I'm sure he'd say it does apply to you.
Well, you can take anything, extrapolate out like a method. And
this
so
is
if he
a
has
gold
a method,
book. Yeah.
If he has a method for making money, that was his goal to make $1,000 a month. You can take from that the methodology and say your goal is, well, I want to be able to ride my bicycle 100 miles a week, you know, for the rest of my life. You take his methodology and you start doing it.
We're going to take a break here. That's a good point. And we'll be right back talking to Keith Wepley, who's been kind enough to drop in. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 at 6, pardon me, 746.